B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Anyone guess, Bob, how many movies you've seen? I guess.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Grant because you know he knows me a little bit. We've been out together, I wanted him to give it a shot. But yeah, out of 50, I would say the most popular movies that people are looking at. What? How many have I seen?
Yeah, how many?
You're 45. You're
44.
44. I've Egan's 45. Jamie is
50 out of 50.
50 of 50.
50 of 50.
And you set the mark for me at 10 and a half.
Jamie set the mark for you at 10 and a half.
I got to start paying attention.
We did ask the question on our Twitter poll today, brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. When you see Joel Embiid wearing a hazmat suit heading down to Orlando, did you find it amusing? Yes, hilarious. No, not funny. 75% of our voting audience right now on our Twitter poll, brought to you by Window Nation, says yes, hilarious.
Good.
So good for you people.
Yeah.
Good for you people. I'm surprised it's not even higher. All right? People
curmudgeons fed out there
with that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Without further ado, I really appreciate this guy coming on with us because today's a show where we want to have some fun. And John Clark, to me, is a man who has fun. He's a man who embraces life.
Huge Springsteen fan.
Huge Springsteen.
Like myself.
He is probably like you, Bob, going through withdrawal. Like I said, just like you
There's
are.
Something coming up. Nils Lofgren let a little hint out the other day. Oh, yeah. That's all, yeah.
Well, you know what? That's now the reason why we're having the great John Clark from NBC Sports Philadelphia on with us. Wait, John, do you know about this Bruce Springsteen thing that Bob's alluding to?
No, that's a heck of a tease. Can you let me know what's going on?
There you go. Nils Lofgren put it out on Twitter the other day that next year there will be a full year tour, and the record that will be coming along with it might be one of the best that Bruce has ever done. He called it a record. Some may call it an album.
What's the record?
What's that?
They're gonna drop a digital album, I guess is what they're gonna say now.
Yes.
Oh wow.
That's a better way of putting it, John. Yes.
Well, okay.
Well, this is great news.
Yes. See, I brightened your day already.
2021 is going to be a better year.
Can't be worse.
Nils Lofgren, by the way, he played Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. So there we go. John, could you
Springsteen shaming? Ugh.
Can you walk us through something real quick, John? I want to go back in time just a little bit, not necessarily the news yesterday or even of this week, but I believe it was last week. You posted a picture of yourself on social media going into Citizens Bank Park under new media protocol. What was that like?
It was very weird because, you know, you go in the morning and everybody's lined up outside. Everybody's, you know, socially distanced and wearing masks. And then you come in Citizens Bank Park and you do your normal security check. But then you have a big screen, almost like one of those airport check-in kiosks. And they ask you to look into it. And it is a temperature check. Now, I've gone to different places where they put that thing at your forehead, which is a little disconcerting as it is. They've got something that kind of looks and is shaped like something else, and it's shooting at your forehead.
Yeah.
That's how they get your temperature. But this was pretty cool. This was almost like a kiosk where you look into it, and within a couple seconds, it has your temperature. So naturally, in this day and age, I had to take a selfie so let everybody know what the whole process looked like.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, the whole thing was very different. And the thing that's tough is you're just not surrounded by people. That was one of the great things about going to the ballpark, covering the Phillies and other teams. You're just not surrounded by people, and it's very isolated now being there.
Now, did you happen to be down there yesterday?
No, I skipped out on that one.
I don't blame you. But I know you've been down there as we just talked about. How weird is it seeing the baseball players on the field with nobody in the stands?
Yeah, I tell you, you hear all the little tiny sounds, like when the catcher's mitt, gets the pop of the baseball. It's just so much louder, and it reverberates in the empty stadium. And then the crack of the bat, they might be able to hear that out in the streets because when you have an empty stadium, the sound just echoes. And it's so loud. So you hear every little tiny thing. You hear little laughter. You hear little conversation. And you hear Bryce Harper yelling out, sign him. after JT Realmuto's home run. So you hear every little tiny thing, and I think they're going to have to do something about that for the games, whether it's pump in some crowd noise or, you know, like some radio shows, they pump in that noise of the lunchtime and you hear plates and silverware.
Sure.
So I just think they're going to have to pump in something. Music wouldn't be bad. Because it's just too silent. And like JT Realmuto said yesterday, he's like, when there's nobody in the stadium, you have to create your own energy. And so they're talking a lot more to each other because you're trying to pump each other up and create, I don't want to say false energy, but you're trying to create some juice.
Sure. You've mentioned JT Realmuto now a couple times, and we've been talking about him throughout the morning. Are you confident they're going to get a deal done? Because it didn't sound too inspiring yesterday listening to JT Realmuto, and a week and a half ago listening to Matt Klentak.
I will put everything on the line. I will make a wager with you.
Ooh.
That JT Realmuto will stay with the Phillies. There is absolutely no way.
All right.
The Phillies, after making the trade that they did, can let him walk. And that would, to me... that might signal the end of Matt Klentak if that happens.
Okay.
It is the responsibility of the Phillies to re-sign one of the best dudes, one of the best players, the best catcher in baseball. He is everything you want as a teammate. And by the way, when John Middleton sold Bryce Harper on the Phillies, one of the things that Bryce Harper said is he promised he would build the best team as he possibly can and spend money around Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper spread out his contract over 13 years, take less average value every year so that they could keep a guy like JT Realmuto and sign big players. It would be awful if he walked, and it's not going to happen. They will make sure he is a Philadelphia Philly. There's no way they're going to let him walk.
All right, John, since you're talking in absolutes, I have to ask you this question. Buster Olney came out yesterday and said he's 30% certain that baseball will start, 0% chance that it will end. Where do you stand on it? Do you think they're going to push through? Do you think they're going to be able to? And having been there and watching them work out, are you comfortable that it could get through?
Wow, it's such a tough question because you take a look at MLS soccer, right? They started up and they've already had several teams who have had to back out of games and can't compete because they've had 6-7 guys test positive for the coronavirus. So, you know what? I think there's going to be times where maybe a team, they're going to field a team, but team might be missing some of their best players at some point. Will they make it through an entire season? Buster Olney says 0%. Wow.
That's what he said, yeah. He said there's only 30% chance they even start up.
I think it'll start up. I think it'll start up. I mean, if you're testing the players every other day, I know they're having a problem right now getting the test back in time sometimes. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think anybody's going to spread the coronavirus at the ballpark if somebody has it. The only place I think somebody's going to get the coronavirus is outside the ballpark, you know, in a regular life, going out to dinner, doing things. And that's where the players, the responsibility is really on the players. And Bryce Harper said it, you know, we can't have guys going out to drink at bars. You can't have that when you're on the road. I do think it's going to get started. Will it finish? I'm at 50%, and I hate to hedge because I think you're going to have positive cases, and I think you might have guys that aren't able to play, but they can still field a team with the amount of roster spots that they're going to have. But it's a scary proposition. And also, I think of NFL. If baseball was having problems getting the test back in time, what about training camp? When you're talking about 80-plus players, when you're talking about 20-plus coaches and so many personnel for a training camp, I think that's far tougher. I think NFL is far tougher than baseball.
Well, speaking with John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia, to shift now to basketball. Joel Embiid gets out of the car yesterday wearing the full hazmat suit. He posts interesting pictures on Instagram. Obviously, he looks like he's having his fun already. I thought he had an audience of one yesterday. And that audience of one, that one member, was Kendrick Perkins. What did you make of the hazmat suit yesterday with JoJo?
Well, he also had Kyle O'Quinn, who was laughing hysterically
yes, he did.
outside the SUV. Look, I love it. I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, I know some people sometimes get upset with Joel sometimes and his personality and fun, but you know what? We need to have fun. And he made me laugh. And during this tough time, we need to laugh and we need to be able to, you know, stay a little loose because it's so stressful during this time. So when I saw the picture, I laughed and I said, that's JoJo. And, I mean, he kind of looked like an Augusta caddy down there for the Masters.
He did, yes.
Or he was ready for Wimbledon. But look, I mean, I laughed. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, Joel said it and a bunch of other players have said it, that they don't really feel comfortable with this. They don't like the idea. And is it going to be safe? Because he can't trust other players. So here's a guy who has some anxiousness and some fear in his mind, and he's kind of like expressing that in a way. And sure, it might be a shot at Kendrick Perkins, and it should be, because this is a tough situation. And what if you have some other guys who aren't necessarily being as safe, and you're kind of putting your health on the line and your family's health on the line? So I have no problem with it. Did you guys like it?
We loved it. We thought it was great. Yeah. I know earlier we did talk about the other side of it that you referenced, the people that are like, hey, enough with the funny stuff, let's play basketball. But that's Joel Embiid, and that leads to my next question. Like, of all the players that you've covered in Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, it's rare to find a guy who's attitude of, well, is he having fun, and how well he plays go hand in hand. Like, if he's taking the game too serious, he usually doesn't play well. But if he is having fun, smiling, goofing off and all that, that seems to be when we see the best version of even Joel Embiid, the basketball player.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, think about what he has always said. He's like, I got to get back to being myself. And his basically what he likes to do is troll people and fire up the crowd, laugh, smile. And he loves trolling people, let's face it. And we all love it. I kind of equate it to the 93 Phillies. Remember when John Kruk, comes out? He's overweight. He's got a mullet. He's chewing gum and popping bubbles on the field. Everybody loved John Kruk in 1993 when the Phillies were winning. Then in 94, when they weren't playing as well, or the year after, whatever it was, John Kruk, he's overweight. You know, his mullet, he doesn't take himself seriously enough. So I think it's all about, is the team winning or doing well? If they are, they're going to love Joel. If the team is the sixth seed and not playing as well, people are going to be like, I'm tired of his act. And really, I think that's all it is.
John, I'm going to take the Eagles out of this question. So let's just go with the startup NHL, NBA, and the 60-game dash that we have for baseball. When all is said and done with those three teams, the Flyers, Sixers, and the Phillies, Who are we going to be most happy with?
Great question. Honestly, I don't think it's going to be the Phillies, just because of the extremely difficult schedule they have, the amount of road games against their tough division and the AL East, and just ridiculous pitching that they're going to face. So I don't think it's going to be the Phillies. That's a great question. I'm thinking that the Sixers are going to surprise some people, because Joel is rested. He's only played 44 games this year, and we've heard guys say it. He looks like he's in great shape. Brett Brown, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, Brett has said arguably the best shape of Joel's career. He thinks he's going to be in. Ben is healthy, so I think that this team is rested and fresh, and I think they're going to surprise some people. I really do, because all you need, Joel, is a healthy Joel in the playoffs. And when he's healthy, the Sixers can win. They would have gone up 3-1 on the Raptors last year if Joel was healthy.
I don't doubt that too much there, John. John, the last thing for me.
Sounds like you are.
No. I'm thinking back to the first three games and the gastroenteritis and all that stuff. No, I mean, they were a Joel Embiid away, yeah, maybe, from going up 3-0 in that series. And certainly not going to a game seven, that's for damn sure. John, I'm going to ask you this. The DeSean Jackson situation with the Eagles, how do you think this plays out? I know you've been on top of the Julian Edelman stuff that he's put out there. How do you think all this ends up with the Eagles and DeSean?
Well, I spoke to DeSean, and I've been keeping in contact, and you may not believe it, but, you know, he was very naive about this situation. And I know if you see the name Hitler, you should not send out anything related to Hitler. And I still can't get past that point. I mm-hmm. still don't get it. But, yeah. You know, like even his postings about Farrakhan, he unbelievably really didn't know some of the history of Farrakhan. And so, look, I don't think DeSean Jackson is anti anybody. I really don't. You know, I think a lot of us have known him in Philadelphia for a long time. And he made a mistake. And I think he realized after the fact and when he heard from so many people about so many people that he hurt and, you know, the suffering that Jews have gone through, he can relate in a way with, you know, what he's talking about with what African Americans have gone through. So I think he's getting help now from some influential people in Philadelphia and some Jewish leaders. And I hear that he's going to come together and make a donation and he's educating himself. So I think the Eagles right now, I know that he apologized to Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman. And I think the Eagles right now are basically in a wait and see mode. I think they will decide DeSean's future when they see that he is backing up what he says he's going to do. And that is promoting equality with all people and Jewish people as most definitely. Mm-hmm. And action. They want to see DeSean. They want to see action. So I think his employment is still being decided. And wow. It's up to DeSean to show that he is serious and he is really contrite. And so I think over these next, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, if DeSean does the right things and really shows seriously that he knows he made a mistake and promoting equality with African Americans and Jewish people and everybody, I think that he will keep his job. But it is a wait and see thing, in my opinion. And from what I've seen, just DeSean talking to a lot of people in Philadelphia, in the Jewish community, and they're working out some things now. I think he's on the right path. So I think this is a chance for everybody, kind of like the Drew Brees situation, for DeSean to say, look, I'm sorry. I messed up. I didn't realize the hurt and pain that would cause. And I was naive and a little uneducated about this. Mm-hmm. And so let's bring people together. And that's what Julian Edelman and DeSean look like they're going to do. So that's great. I think this is a step in the right direction.
Speaking with John Clark, and I know you spoke to DeSean a couple of weeks ago in a great piece for Uncomfortable Conversations and all that stuff for NBC Sports Philadelphia. You talked to him, though, after the posts as well?
Yes.
And the impression you got was he really didn't know what the hell he was doing.
I don't think he truly understood okay. what that post meant.
Okay.
And from talking to him, he did not study up enough and know the history of Farrakhan. And he did not understand the hate that Farrakhan has spread in other ways previously. Now, I know you may not believe that, and maybe I didn't believe it at first, but from talking to people, they just think DeSean was a little uneducated about a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But I still can't get past when you see the name Hitler.
Yeah.
You can't in any way associate yourself with that and send out anything with that. So I can't get past that point, but DeSean has realized all the pain. He didn't realize at first all the pain that it would cause.
Right.
And so I think that's a big part of this is him understanding and hearing from a lot of Jewish leaders in Philadelphia, which he is hearing from them and talking with them. And I think he's finally understanding the pain and what those words mean. And hopefully this can bring some communities together and bring people together more instead of dividing.
Last thing for you on a fun one. I know you're a man of comedy. What are you enjoying on Netflix or any streaming thing right now?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm loving. I liked watching the Pete Davidson movie.
Okay, yeah.
King of Staten Island, a little expensive for on demand.
Have you seen Eurovisions, John?
Yeah, you know what? I just watched Eurovision. Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. That was pretty good.
Oh my god!
Yeah, we were like, stupid funny. Jamie and I both gave it like a 2.5 out of like 5. But Bob didn't make it through. He made it through what? 18 minutes
and 38 seconds.
And then he was out. When they talked to the elves, John, Bob Cooney was out.
Yeah.
Well, I did think it was funny, though, when, you know, apparently the elves came out of the little cottages and then he heard the door slam behind. I did think that was funny.
That was the payoff.
I usually love stupid comedy. I mean, I watch Impractical Jokers all day long. But I did not connect with this movie as much. I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
I lasted through the whole thing, not 18 minutes. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the David Spade movie that came out on Netflix.
Oh, the Wrong Missy or something like that?
Wrong Melissa. Or Wrong
I did see that.
That was pretty
funny. Stupid as hell.
All right, well, John, if you're saying it's funny, I'm going to go watch that because you're the second person that told me, but I like your opinions more than the other person that told me. So I'm probably going to watch it. John Clark, thanks for coming on with us. I really appreciate it, man. I hope to see you soon, buddy.
I hope to see you guys soon, and I guess Bob won't be taking any of my movie recommendations.
I'm just not a movie guy, John, so don't take it personally.
All right,
buddy.
See you, John.
Thanks.
Take it easy, man. John Clark, how about that? Like, I want to believe the narrative that DeSean Jackson, like, I want to believe that he had no clue what the hell he was doing.
I do, too. But then what the hell is he posting yesterday, retweeting yesterday or whatever?
Liking.
Sure. Like, why?
You know what's, maybe this is just me being dumb, which wouldn't be the first time, but I would almost understand more him not knowing much about Louis Farrakhan. Because in a time where you're looking for more, I don't know, either knowledge about your own race of people and your own community, I can understand why he might hear what this one guy is saying and identify with some of the good points, if there was any. I didn't listen to it. And go, oh, no, this guy is a great black leader. Let me get caught up in this. But what I don't understand is anything with Adolf Hitler. Anything. Like, yeah. There's no good that comes after Hitler said. Like, nothing positive after that. Like, I could almost, like, somebody seeking leadership in their community and saying, oh, Louis Farrakhan's a black leader. I'm sure he's a great guy. Let me follow what he had to say. And getting caught up in that as opposed to getting caught up in Adolf Hitler.
See, I don't know. If I'm going to listen to somebody for 3 or 4 hours,
yeah,
which Louis Farrakhan spoke for during the weekend, don't you look into seeing or have some knowledge of that person before you do that? Like, you don't just randomly say, who's this guy, Louis Farrakhan? Okay, let me check him out. And then you spend a lot of your day listening to that? I don't know. I would hope. I really am hoping for the dumb part of it. I think there's an agenda a little bit. I really do.
Is using a book that not only has typos, but fake Hitler quotes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the type to dive into necessarily every detail in history of Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's much easier to think that he doesn't know what he's talking about with Louis Farrakhan than he does with Hitler.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm not
so
crazy.
His sourcing
is
terrible.
I agree.
It's much easier to not understand who Louis Farrakhan is than to not understand who Hitler is.
Okay.
That's a universal we can all agree on.
He had to have had an interest in Louis Farrakhan.
He was probably watching the speech.
Going in. I don't think he randomly fell upon it.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows,
you know
who
what
he is, but he probably doesn't know that he's an anti-homosexual.
Okay.
He probably doesn't realize the levels of anti-Semitism. He probably doesn't understand that the Southern Poverty Law Center considers him a hate group.
Right.
Like, there's many, many layers to Louis Farrakhan that he probably is. I mean, I don't know this. He might be very well aware of every facet, but it's much easier to
understand. Not though, yeah.
Yeah, you want to understand that he doesn't know as much Farrakhan as he does Hitler, because Hitler is one of the world's most infamous people.
Of course, but like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying as far as
Farrakhan that makes
goes.
Sense. Yeah,
like, oh wait, black leader.
I'm sure he knows who he is.
Right.
He probably just doesn't know all the layers to it.
Farrakhan.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Because there is a lot of layers.
But the one that's more the one I'm still not able to wrap my head around is...
No, there's no way he doesn't know who Hitler is.
No, and that's never been my point.
Yeah.
My point has been, after listening to his apology, it's like, could he tell you, like, 3 things about Adolf Hitler?
I would hope.
Could, like, evil person, I hope he would have that one off, like, evilest ever, like, most evil, essence of evil was the word, phrase I like to say. And then the other, like what, Germany? Like, could he give you that one?
Mm.
I don't know. But, interesting, John did have a communication with DeSean Jackson after all this hit the fan, and it is just insane. And we will tell you probably the oddest story coming out, as we've been referencing throughout the show today, of 2020. This is what I label as the oddest story. Time of the Fanatic. We'll get to it in a second. Time of the Fanatic, 9:23.
Hey, guys. Bob Cooney here. And during the COVID-19 outbreak, there have been countless people who have showed their heroism by doing whatever it takes to provide for their community and keep us all safe. They are the doctors, the nurses, hospital techs, educators, supermarket employees, pharmacists, first responders, countless others that we all know and appreciate. These are the heroes who put themselves on the line and their families at risk to do their essential jobs on a daily basis. We here at 97.5 The Fanatic salute these heroes and thank them for going above and beyond, for doing whatever it takes to protect and help all of us during these times. Like all of these heroes, your Pierce Phelps Bryant heating and air conditioning dealers will do whatever it takes to keep your family cool and comfortable during this tough summer. Whether you need an HVAC tune-up, a quick fix on your system, whatever you need, your Pierce Phelps Bryant dealers can help with flexible financing options and indoor quality specials. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer in your area, go to nopaybryant.com. That's nopaybryant.com.
Farzetta in the Morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
If you told me on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2020, all the things that were going to happen over the next like 6.5 months, the one I probably wouldn't believe the most would be that DeSean Jackson quotes Hitler, allegedly, or at least thought he quoted Hitler, put that out, and then Jeffrey Lurie's production company releases a Hitler movie. In the same week! That's the one I'd go, I believe the pandemic. I believe murder hornets. I believe the Astros cheated. The one I wouldn't believe would be the Hitler and Hitler in the same flipping week. That's the one that I wouldn't believe.
Yeah, that's the oddest. Yeah. I would go with oddest.
Like,
yes.
I'm not saying most tragic. Like, obviously, Kobe Bryant is, the passing of Kobe Bryant is more tragic than DeSean Jackson, obviously. But if you just laid out all the stories and said, which one do you believe the least, I would say DeSean Jackson on Hitler and Jeffrey Lurie movie on Hitler.
It's a doozy.
Same week.
It's a what?
It's a doozy.
Oh, doozy. I thought he said something else.
Floozy?
No, I didn't know what you said.
What else would you mix up with doozy?
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear the word doozy. That's hence why I said, what did you say? I didn't hear the word. I didn't confuse it for another word. I didn't hear the word.
He didn't hear you at all is what he's saying, I think.
Are you saying you didn't hear me?
Exactly. What is it? Are you saying?
Like, is that not the? But in all honesty, it's the oddest. It's actually one of the more odd things I've ever heard of ever. Like ever.
Like I thought it was a joke when I saw it yesterday. I really did, a bad joke, but I thought it was a joke.
Like somebody was getting punked. Like, oh, fake Twitter account. Yeah. It was really like fake Adam Schefter that tweeted Jeffrey Lurie's production company is putting out a movie based on the culture that has sprung up about Adolf Hitler in the same week that the Eagles receiver put out a fake Hitler quote. Yeah, it seems like a little bit too much of a perfect storm, but nonetheless, that's the case. The other part of this that I do find interesting is if you read the article, and this is what I don't believe is a coincidence. I don't believe that the website that I think actually released this news piece, Deadline.com, at least that's where I read it, I don't think that it's a coincidence that they released this story now. That's what I'll say is not the coincidence. That's them planning on doing it. What I do find interesting is that Jeffrey Lurie is interviewed in the piece. And in the piece, which came out yesterday, Jeffrey Lurie is quoted as saying, the rise of white supremacy and neo-fascism in the United States and the world over are among the most important and serious threats we face today. That's a quote from Jeffrey Lurie. I don't know when the interview happened. All I know is the story got released yesterday.
Yeah,
that's not the coincidence. Because if you're a website and you have this story, don't you want the clicks? This is going to help get the clicks.
And who heads that production company?
Jeffrey Lurie.
Okay.
I don't think there's any, like, I think that is a coincidence that it's Jeffrey Lurie's production company. It's something they've been working on for 3 months. Or, excuse me, three years.
Three years.
But I don't think this is his production company saying, oh, let's capitalize on Deshaun's mistake. I would think that would be a pretty shady thing.
Yeah, that is shady. But, interesting.
Oh, really? Conspiracy theory, Bob?
Cue
Robert Stack? Is that what we should do here? Play the music? Conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
Hey, look, in this world, I'm not going to be naive to anything, but that's one thing I will put past Jeffrey Lurie. Let's get to, who do we have? Tony at Temple. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
What's up, buddy?
Every morning. You guys, for some reason, even before the pandemic, because you on first thing in the morning, have to tackle some of the most controversial sports news forever. It's amazing. I listen to you guys every morning, and you're up against the wall every morning to try to make some sanity out of this insanity. But,
we try, man. Thanks.
Hey, look, all I can tell you is some of the points that Bobby making just cracks me up. It's unbelievable, but he is so funny. He needs his own show. But three quick points. First of all, that the Big Four sports are up against a numbers game. I believe that they're not going to make it through the whole season.
All four sports.
All four of them. This infection rate spreads so quickly, they can't control it. I believe what you said about being in the bubble, but it just takes one person to basically just throw that monkey wrench in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
The second point that I wanted to make was, especially going back to Deshaun, was he knew exactly what he was doing.
If he knew exactly what he was doing and there was malice, right, then it's absolutely, like, I still don't think he should be on the team. But, like, right, if there's malice right behind this and there's great intent behind hating a group of people, then, right, like, forget about even being thrown off the Eagles. He should be out of the NFL.
Right. Deshaun is the kind of kid that's your kid brother. He punches you right in the face only so he can come back and say, I'm sorry I did it. That's the kind of kid he is, but I want to make a quick historical point.
Yeah.
The nation of Israel has two mandates. Number one, never forget the Holocaust. And number two, hunt down every person that was involved, every Nazi that was involved in the Holocaust. They have a whole department of people that just tracks them down, research them, everything too.
I can't speak to that, but okay.
Right. In Germany, you cannot name your child Adolf. It's a law. You can't name a child Adolf.
That we did talk about.
Yeah, Nazism is outlawed. The swastika is outlawed. The skinhead is outlawed. Anything like that, they lock you up.
Mm.
The third point I want to make is the reason why Deshaun went back on it, he took a crash course in Hitler. He read something that to make him appear as though I'm very aware of the history. I know this, I know that. Because, you know, the internet, you just, a couple of keystrokes, a couple of taps on your phone.
Yeah.
All right there.
Yeah, before you post something like that, and Tony, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Before you post something like that, and I'm having trouble, unfortunately, with that line for some weird reason. Before you post something like that involving Hitler, involving Louis Farrakhan, you gotta kind of know what you're talking about before you do that. And you might decide that it's not the best idea in the world to post anything about it. Like, that's why obviously we do a sports format show. But that's why I've talked politics maybe twice in 15 years of being on the air in Philadelphia. It's because whenever you talk politics, you're opening the door to both sides of an argument that you just sometimes don't want to have.
No.
Most of the time,
yeah,
you don't want to have. You could say one glowing thing about one political candidate. Oh, this is one great thing they did for this person. It's like, well, yeah, you know, they did this to this other person. And it's like, well, then we're in a lose-lose cycle. Forget the win-win. Let's get to Sean in Newark. Sean, what's happening, man?
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Sean.
Morning.
I've been off the radio for like a month. I was like,
where you been?
Too crazy. Okay. Well, I was just getting too crazy, like with all the social stuff. Like, I mean, I actually really care, and then you feel frustrated because you don't know what to do and you can't do anything. And, you know, if I run down and join a protest, I feel like the only thing I'll do is get sick. But anyway, this whole Deshaun Jackson thing had me kind of upset. And I like Julian Edelman. Like, my sentiments are similar to him.
Okay.
And Mark, you made me think of something yesterday. You were trying to point out that, you know, with the Holocaust, you know, that yes, Black Lives Matter, but also, you know, all lives matter. But at the same time, you were scared to death to say all lives matter, because these days that's been hijacked and now that's like a racist term, you know. So if somebody says Black Lives Matter, the other side responds all lives matter, so they can take the higher ground. Same way with the national anthem debate, you know, it's being unpatriotic. Now they've changed the narrative to you're being ungodlike. I don't kneel before anyone but God. So, well, anyway,
honestly, that's one I hadn't heard yet. But and I remember,
oh no, that's the new narrative. So you start paying attention, you'll hear that all the time now. Now they don't say it's unpatriotic; it's ungodlike. So they've taken it to a whole nother. Whole crowd, like if you just start paying attention, you'll start hearing everybody
it's not
saying
like
that
I don't
term.
Pay attention. That's one that I might have missed. But as far as
I'm
yesterday,
it's relatively new. In the last few weeks, everybody's been saying that I don't kneel before anyone but God. You know, and that's the new thing. So anyway, I have a solution, because I'm frustrated by the all lives matter versus Black Lives Matter versus Blue Lives Matter and all this. And I feel like they've hijacked Black Lives Matter the same way. Like if I say Black Lives Matter, then they can respond all lives matter. And actually I'm the one that's racist and they're the one that are taking the higher ground because they care about everybody. Whereas I only care about black people. I have a solution for that. And I wanted to run it by you guys, and then I'll follow up with you Monday, and I'm going to donate $200 to pay it forward, and we could talk about that next week because I know you're almost out of time.
Okay.
But here's my solution. I want next week us to target somebody like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or I say him just because he does interviews everywhere, and every time he issues a statement, it gets national press.
All right.
And he's very accessible. But here's my solution. I want Black Lives Matter to start printing up shirts, and it'll make them a ton of money, and it'll diffuse that argument. And what I want is four lines of text. The first line is just the word if. Then the next line is all lives matter. The next line is just one word, then. And then the next line is Black Lives Matter. So in other words, the shirt would say, if all lives matter, then Black Lives Matter. But what makes it cool is they could market them at the website and literally change it to anything. So I could say like Jewish lives. So if Jewish lives matter, then Black Lives Matter. If Catholic lives matter, then Black Lives Matter. If blue lives, I'm a police officer, I could buy one of the shirts and say, if blue lives matter, then Black Lives Matter. So yeah, they could lift it hard for that whole Black Lives Matter. Oh yeah, well, all lives matter. In other words, they're defeating the argument of the other side at the same time and making a ton of money. That's my idea. What do you think?
I don't want to speak for that, for the Black Lives Matter movement. That would be their approval. But if you
want
to run it by
them. Their attention. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to speak for them either. I want to put the idea for it, but who would give it to? If I run it by Malcolm Jenkins and he says, you know what, that's a good idea. Let me bounce that around to some people.
Dope.
And we'll see. You know what I mean?
Shoot it out to him on Twitter. And shoot it out to him on Instagram, whatever it might be. Maybe even email CNN. I don't know. Reach out to the Saints. I don't want to give approval for a movement I'm physically not helping run. I'm not in that platform. I'm in the platform of equality. If you want to talk to me about the equality, equality. Let's have some fun there. And to correct, I was not terrified to say that all lives mattered. We had a caller yesterday that called our show and said, in the light of Deshaun Jackson, we do have to keep in mind that, yes, in fact, all lives matter. No one has ever said one matters more than another. It's a reminder. That's all it is.
Right.
There was no terror in me in talking with that caller yesterday that mentioned it.
No.
Let's get Sam and Hershey up here. What's up, Sam?
Good morning.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, I'm just, want to make a point here that where did Deshaun Jackson go to college?
Cal Poly.
Oh, Poly.
Cal Poly was his high school. Berkeley is the university.
I always mess those up. I apologize.
He went to Cal Berkeley, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
He's no dummy then. That's pretty much like an Ivy League school almost. So he knew very well what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot about Riley Cooper. What he said was despicable, and he should have been cut for the team. But it's a different time now. We live in a different culture since all this went down. So when people say, well, if he's going to be punished, we're not going to support the Eagles anymore. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that too much. I've only heard that the precedent was set with Riley Cooper, therefore you can't cut Deshaun Jackson. And what I say to that then is, so any Eagles player can do whatever the hell they damn want now? And repercussions for it. There's no punishment. No one can be held accountable because the precedent is now Riley Cooper.
Yeah, because, you know, what happened before was at that time, and maybe people weren't so aware of what was going on. I shouldn't say they probably are aware, but now with all this going on, and I think it's a good movement. I think that we all need equality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very disturbing that when DeSean Jackson says this, excuse me, I'm out for a walk.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
I'm out for a walk right now, so I'm kind of out of breath.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Watch out for the rain.
Take your time. Take your time.
Yeah. But there's no response back from the professional athletes. Like, where is everybody coming out? They, you know, basically crucified Drew Brees.
Right. I'll tell you, Sam, and thanks for the call. Basically what happened was Chris Long came out, and then some other players from around the league came out. Who was it with the was it the Texans? Schwartz? Or no, I'm sorry, the Chiefs. Schwartz
yeah,
came
Mitchell
out.
Schwartz.
Mitchell Schwartz came out, and then we saw Julian Edelman post yesterday about it and literally offer to walk DeSean Jackson through the National Museum for the Holocaust in D.C., and they would do the same with the African American History Museum. And they would exchange ideas at the end of that and basically have that quote-unquote uncomfortable conversation, which I actually think is a great thing, regardless of what the Eagles do with DeSean Jackson. I think that's a great thing Julian Edelman offered. And then Julian Edelman offered earlier this morning around 8 o'clock, he put out on social media that him and DeSean Jackson had a conversation, and they are going to continue to work together to understand each other's culture a little bit better. Stay tuned, is what Julian Edelman said. So that's a great thing, and it's good to see some athletes at least come out and talk about it when we have looked at athletes over the last month and a half as people that have tried to usher in social change. And when you're arguing for equality for as long as people have, and as long as we have not shied away from that conversation on this radio program for the last month and a half at least, I'm not about to say, when's equality start? Tomorrow. No, it's begun. Like, if we're making a movement for equality, that equality for all, then I'm behind equality for all.
Yeah.
So I'm not about to be selective with who I give equality to.
I'm still a little disappointed that we haven't heard anything from Malcolm Jenkins. I really would have thought equality being, you know, his platform and all. Like, why not have an opinion about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or why not have talked to DeSean Jackson and come out and say, you know, what you talked about or maybe what he meant or something. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
My only thing, it's does he look at it as, again, devil's advocate, not sure. My opinion.
Sure.
But could someone in Malcolm Jenkins' stance feel like he does, it's not his fight? Like, I'm fighting my fight for equality for my people. That's up to... I can't speak about that because I'm not a Jewish man.
Okay.
Is that the way he wants to think about
it? Yeah, that's a good point. But my thought is, like, well, if you're speaking of equality and an expert on it... I mean, you're choosing this platform because you feel like you're an expert on it, and that's fine. And you know, I think equality means that everything being equal, yes, that should, if there's prejudice, you should speak on it just like you spoke on it before. I'd like to hear his thoughts.
I'm not condemning him, I'm just saying
I'd like to hear his thoughts. I wish he would speak.
I'm with you. Let's get to Ronnie. Aww. Ronnie in Roxborough. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, man.
Good. I just want to make a quick point. I agree with Bob. I think it was either Bob or Anthony just made that point about, I want to hear from Malcolm Jenkins too, because equality for one is equality for all.
It was Jamie who said that,
We all eat the same dirt. One quick point that I'm going to do, and I'm going to go outside the box on this whole DeSean Jackson thing and all the other people who misspoke. You're right. This is the number one stupidest saying of the whole year, 2020.
Thank you. The oddest story.
You would have told me back in New Year's Day that I would have bet against him, not for him. I would have bet against not. There's no way he could say that. I want you guys to do me a big favor. I know you can do it. This won't break no SEC rules like that, too. Is back in the day, you guys don't remember, George Carlin. 7 words you can't say on TV, which sure. I will not say it.
Sure.
But you guys have to put out a list for all these so-called Uber spokespeople that is 7 words that you cannot utter on Twitter, on social network, on the radio, nowhere. And especially begins with, obviously, the N-word. Everybody's paid the price to utter that word. Hitler got to be right behind them. And all the, it's like the 7 words you cannot say.
Yeah.
You can't say it.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I had the same thought. And growing up, and I've mentioned it before, you know, I've wanted to be in broadcasting since I was 11 years old.
Right.
I always thought Hitler was on that list.
He's if he's not number two, right behind the N-word, he's right there, one and two.
No, yeah. I am absolutely with you. You have something on JT Realmuto as well?
JT Realmuto will be a Philadelphia Philly, no doubt about it. Bet your last dollar, the last penny. Bet the horse, the cart, the bucket, the goat, the goose, the monkey. Bet everything that JT will be a Philadelphia if I have to go into my personal offshore account and pay his contract myself.
Ronnie, you know what? I'm going to go to my menagerie. I'm going to get all those animals you just mentioned, and I'm going to bet them that JT Realmuto. There you go.
Bet the whole farm.
Ronnie, I want to give you something here.
Yeah, Ronnie.
Yeah, let's
go ahead. All right.
Now there
It's all rigged. It's all a fake.
Ronnie, we got to give away a T-shirt here. We want to help you out because you're a great caller here. Are you a movie buff?
Yes, I am.
Okay, there was a list that came out, most searched movies by IMDb, and we want to know of those 50 movies on that list, how many do you think Bob Cooney has seen of the 50?
You mean seen entirely?
Seen the movies entirely.
Mark put the number at the
none of them.
No. The over under's 10.5, Ronnie.
Oh, it's over under 10.5?
Yeah.
I'm gonna bet the middle and say 3.
No, way off.
All right, Ronnie.
Sorry,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks anyway, buddy. Huh. Do you wanna
Bob? I feel like Bob's answer is gonna be our tool of the week.
If it is, it's brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. If you need it. Hollis has it.
Are you gonna be a tool, Bob?
I don't know. Why are you saying that?
Why you got to shame?
Like an answer is going to be a tool?
No, you're a tool for other reasons.
What's the answer, Bob?
I swear to God, I want to go break him right now.
Well, get on the list.
All right. No, well, go ahead. You three have your guesses then.
Okay. I'm going to try to go a pinpoint number here. Now, I have a little bit of an advantage because you told me a number originally, but
wasn't even close.
You said, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, of the movies on this list that you have seen, Bob Cooney, you have seen 8 movies.
Egan?
I was going to go 7.
I'm going to say 12. I'm going to go slide over.
$1.
18.
You've seen 18?
18. Wow. That's right.
18 of 50.
That's right. Yeah.
I am actually amazed by that.
Uh-huh.
I am amazed.
So none of you win a T-shirt.
Cooney the critic.
None of us win a T-shirt. Ah, man, that's a shame. You know what? That's our big sexy report as well, brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top, ladies and gentlemen. Pat Egan, what do we do for our Twitter poll today? Brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Yeah, so I put both of these at our Twitter account, 975Mornings, and the Instagram.
Why
at
do you always? It's just Twitter. We're good.
Because I got to promote the Instagram as well.
The gram? We got to promote the gram?
Can I just promote the gram, please?
All right, promote the gram.
74% on Twitter said it's hilarious. 68% on Instagram said it's hilarious.
Really? The Instagram people were more fun police.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I would think that would be the other way around.
Yeah, like lighten up, people.
Yeah, really. You're on Instagram, for Christ's sake. Like, this is supposed to be funsies.
Wow, he went for Christ's sake.
Damn right I did.
Jeez.
He's serious about this.
I know,
don't
right?
Call a man in a hazmat suit.
Friday, I thought we'd be happy.
We talked to John Clark. It just sounded like my grandfather. All right, Pat Egan, what's taking away that?
So there's a big UFC fight this weekend, and me and Bob are on opposite sides of the main event.
Yes.
So I'm throwing $7 on the table, if you're willing to accept.
Bob's not going to be watching because he'll be busy reading.
I know. So I'm going to win an easy $7. I'm just going to tell my guy I won anyway. But $7 on Kamaru Usman.
No.
Do you accept? No? Okay.
I accept your bet, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I get odds.
You don't get odds.
All right, whatever.
Jamie Lynch.
Another week in sports radio I didn't think we'd be discussing with Hitler, Deshaun Jackson, and the Eagles. Glad it's over. I hope it doesn't get reignited again next week. And have a great weekend, everybody.
When does that movie come out? The one that Jeffrey Lurie produced about, Hitler?
I don't know.
Jeez. I had to default to my history minor in college, basically, this week is what I did. Bob Cooney.
Yeah, 2 days without Egan. I can't wait. See everybody on Monday.
Well, you two love each other.
No, there was an incident a while back, and the relationship is not going to be repaired.
I told you, it's a love-hate relationship. I love hating him.
Oh, that's adorable. My takeaway of the day is going to be that all week I really wanted to tell this bidet story to Jamie about a company that's paying you to use a bidet.
Oh, he's in.
And it was overrun by Deshaun Jackson, unfortunately. So we just couldn't use it. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Stay safe during this like storm thing we're supposed to have and all that. Also, stay tuned. The Anthony Gargano Show today. Jason Mertedis is back. Seated in studio, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for Jason Martinez.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.